with our guest who is ready and waiting for us on the show on the line right now. Pleasure to say that kicking us out of 2013 as we go into the European breaks for most of the leagues is a man who we love having here on World Football Daily. He's a top-class Italian football journalist, and he's also a very good friend of the show as well. A Yorkshire man at heart, a Sheffield Wednesday fan in his blood, and a Serie A writer for Goal.com. It's Mr. Chris Vokes joining us here on World Football Daily. Chris, a very Merry Christmas to you. I hope you are having a great festive period, and of course, hope you have a Happy New Year as well. Looking forward to you coming on and joining us and seeing out 2013 with us with your excellent and expert knowledge of all things Serie A, mate. Hope you're well.
Not too bad at all. You've kind of set me up here, haven't you, with the leave them on a high idea. This is going to have to be a good one.
Well, let's hope. No pressure, of course, but you know there will be standards have been set now, and you need to maintain your high standard that you always achieve whenever you come on, mate. So we all have full faith that this will be a corker to see out the year. Unfortunately, I want to cover the miserable topic for any Milan fans of the derby game from last night. And after that 2-2 draw against Roma, this is a pretty negative way to finish off 2013 for the Rossoneri.
Yeah, it really is. And it was a dire game as well. It, you know, for the neutral and for the Milan fan, it wasn't really much to write home about. The winning goal was completely out of keeping with the game itself. Nothing really to kind of cheer up any either set of fans before Palacio got the winner. But as you say, for Milan, now with 4 wins this season, it's their first 17 games. That's just a desperate, desperate record. And as I wrote for Goal this morning, they might as well just scratch the rest of the season and start building for 2014-15, because they're just not going to get anything out of the season, certainly not in Serie A. Obviously, weaker teams have certainly won the Champions League before, but I just don't see this Milan winning the Champions League this season, and therefore they've got to try and prepare for whatever next season holds, whether that's Europa League football or no European football at all.
Well, I was going to say, have weaker teams won the Champions League though? You look at the Milan side that played on the weekend. I mean, Nigel de Jong, Poli, Muntari, Kaká, who's obviously not what he used to be at the Rossoneri back in the day. This is a side that you're looking for real quality and class, and aside from Mario Balotelli, there isn't too much going around at the moment, and those that might be able to provide it when they're on song, on form, just aren't getting those performances in.
No, certainly when I say weaker sides, I mean that, you know, it's not necessarily always the best team in Europe that wins the Champions League. But certainly I'd say this Milan side is just nowhere near the level needed. Even when, you know, people point to like Porto in 2004, Liverpool in 2005 as Champions League winners who were by no means the best team in Europe. Well, they had something about them that suggested they could have a decent run. There's just nothing about this Milan side, and the fact that a lot of people are pointing to Atletico as one of the better draws that they could have had, and Atletico are an infinitely better side than them right now with infinitely better players in infinitely better form. They've just got nothing. And as you say, some of the players that are wearing Milan shirts at the moment are just not of the level that Milan players should be. I've taken quite a dig in from Milan fans this season at some of the things I've written about Milan, but there's just not an awful lot positive that you can say about them at the moment. And it's really, really distressing to watch this Milan side wearing the Milan shirt and just not having anything like the quality or the heart or the ideas that the club is so used to having in its side. It's just so disappointed to see.
I mean, Chris, when you're kind of finger pointing with this Milan side, do you look at Allegri? Do you look at the back room of Galliani and Berlusconi? Do you look at the tight restrictions that have been put on transfers and wages at the club, or do you just look at the players that are underperforming week in, week out?
All of them. it's an easy answer. First of all, the upstairs in the boardroom, they've done very little to help in that they kind of made big signings such as Ibrahimovic and Rubino a few years ago, which were great short-term signings, but they just kind of didn't help the position of the club going into the financial fair play era, which they knew they were going to have to make cutbacks. Even had there not been a financial fair play era, Berlusconi simply couldn't keep spending the way that he was because Fininvest didn't have the money. He's the holding company at the club. Then when you filter that down, Allegri, since to 2011, the summer of 2011, when they won the title in on reflection, what was a poor year, a bit of a transition year for Serie A in that Inter dropped away. Juventus weren't ready to step up and do what they've since done that year. Under Gigi Del Neri, they finished seventh and weren't really competing. So the league was there to be won that year. Allegri won it, fair play to him. But since then, he's not really done enough with the tools that he's had at his disposal. He managed to make the impossible happen by losing a title despite having Zlatan Ibrahimovic in his side. He's not really coached any quality into any of his players. No, not one player, apart from maybe in Iñaki Abate, has actually improved as a footballer under Allegri's coaching. Yes, he's had the kind of restrictions placed on him, but there's still been too many times when a Milan side with more quality players in it has lost to a provincial side that had no right to be winning that game. And then the players themselves, as I say, not enough heart, not enough ideas, not enough kind of technical quality in there. And a lot of them just aren't good enough for Milan.
On the other side of the city, I guess, well, not on the other side of the city, of course, but the other side of the San Siro then, Inter, do you get the feeling that despite pretty disappointing season so far down in fifth at the moment, obviously nowhere near as bad as the Rossoneri though, is the project starting to build a little bit at Inter at least? It was a terrible year last year, and this recovery year under Walter Mazzarri is at least, it's not falling by the wayside at all.
He's making them functional, I'd say. It's not necessarily the start of an era. I think he's got them doing something with their talent, which they really weren't to an extent last year under Andrea Stramaccioni. They kind of fell by the wayside in the second half of the season. They couldn't get much worse than they were at the end of last season. He's got them kind of working to a structure again. Whether that's the right structure and whether that's a winning structure longer term, I just don't know. We saw at Napoli that Mazzarri did a pretty good job there, but there were problems that ran through the side during his reign there that he just didn't seem to be able to find an answer to. And I get the feeling that he might reach that point with Inter as well, and perhaps is reaching that point already, in that he's got them working well together, he's got them fighting for each other, he's got a basic structure about them, but you know, it needs that injection of flair, it needs a real kind of overhaul of certain systems within the team. It needs something that, you know, for the likes of a Mateo Kovacic to be given a decent run in the side now. I think he showed during Stramaccioni's reign that he's got a great amount of quality. Obviously, he was kept away from the first team a little bit, just in terms of protecting himself, because they clearly were fighting, certainly not fighting for anything of great note towards the end of last season. And it was right that they kind of spelled him a little bit. But I think it's time to really make the most of players like Kovacic at the moment. You look at somebody like Freddy Guarin as well, for instance. There's a lot of talk that he'll leave at the moment. Quite how much of that is talk from Inter, from his agent, trying to get him a move, and quite how much of that is actually the likes of a Chelsea or a Manchester United wanting to add him to their squads is yet to be seen. But he's the kind of standout flair player at the moment, along with Ricky Alvarez. But you know, we know what Ricky Alvarez's limitations are. We've seen it before. He's not got an awful lot of pace. When played, kind of defended against properly, he's not that much of a threat. He has been allowed to do a little bit more this season. He has progressed a little bit, but still he has limitations. Freddy Guarin has limitations. He's not that great off the ball, and therefore he has to play in the hole behind the front man rather than in the midfield. And you know, Mazzarri has got to start answering questions like these if Inter are really going to kick on and become a real contender for the Champions League, because at the moment their best hope is that Fiorentina don't quite stay the course, which looks possible, although Mario Gomez should be back before too long. And then there's the hope that Napoli will fall away, which, you know, they've stumbled, but they still look a better outfit than Inter at the moment. So, you know, Mazzarri's done okay, but I think there's still quite a bit of work to do there.
The frustration in Milan, is this not what kind of the fans, you pay for what you get almost? Both clubs have said that they're operating on tighter budgets and looking to, for the future development of players rather than go out and spend money on big signings. So are we going to see, do you think, is it just going to be a very long time before we see these two reaching the heights that they've had in recent history?
Quite possibly, yes, because given the restrictions in place with financial fair play and such, it's not as though Eric Tohia can just come in and spend whatever money he has made in the business world. He's also said that's not what he wants to do. He wants to make them as close to a self-sustaining company as possible as well. So, you know, the Inters of Milan's of this world have lived for a long time on the money of Moratti, the money of Berlusconi, and everything that has provided. And that made for great eras, particularly in Milan's case over a longer period, but also with Inter over that kind of five-year period where they're pretty untouchable in Italy and won the European Cup as well. But, you know, they're going to have to get with the system, get with the program, if they're going to move forward. There's been... if you look back at Udinese a couple of years ago, the way that they made talent out of almost nothing, and you know they're still doing it to an extent, but they got a lot of money for the likes of Alexis Sanchez, obviously sold on other players as well, Simone Pepe and Mehdi Benatia among others, Samir Handanovic obviously at Inter as well. That's going to have to be the policy of the bigger clubs now, because they're going to have to longer term make or come across their playing talent in another fashion, not just go out and buy them from an Udinese at the age of 24 when they're really coming together. They've got to find them earlier and really make a success of their youth systems. And at the moment, too, obviously, Saponara, although not from Milan's youth system, is a young player who obviously made his full debut last night. You've got Brian Cristante coming through as well for Milan. Inter have got a good crop coming through who are about 17, 18 at the moment. A couple of good players in there. But again, you're waiting on them a little bit. There needs to be more of these more regularly if they're going to be fighting back up at the top anytime soon, because at the end of the day they're Inter and Milan, they'll still attract high quality youngsters, they've just got to go and look for them in the right places.
Now, Chris, we are rapidly running out of time, unfortunately, with you today. But I just want to ask you a little few bits and bobs about a preview almost into 2014. We've seen some great storylines in the last few weeks. Roma, of course, unbeaten still in Serie A. Juventus on this stellar run of form under Conte once again, and have really found their charge back. And the revival of Verona, who up in sixth have taken everybody, I think, by surprise a little in Serie A. Some of these storylines have been great in this first part of the season, but will any of them hold over this winter break, do you think? Will Roma come back and be able to continue this unbeaten run? Will Juventus be able to continue their stellar form? And the likes of Verona, are they going to continue to surprise us, do you think, as we head into the second half of the season?
Well, Roma face Juve first up in the new year, which will be a great... a great barometer, I guess, as to which way that will go. But I think Roma were always going to drop away a little bit. But as I think we said last month that there was a great chance they could be at least unbeaten come the end of 2013. That's materialised. Now, you know, people are saying that they've fallen away. It's almost like the parameters have changed for Roma because of their great start. People are now expecting them to stay unbeaten for a longer time or be right up challenging with Juve. They were never meant to be. We were talking of them as outsiders for the Champions League. And you know, if they were to finish in the top three, I think Rudy Garcia and the board at Roma with James Pilotto and what have you, I think they'll be absolutely delighted with finishing in the top three. If you offered them third place now, I'm sure they'd take it. But that said, you know, they are in second place. They have a 5-point gap over Napoli now, and there's a good chance that if they can keep their form going, that they could achieve even more than that, and that would be great for them. Juve look pretty unstoppable unless you put them on a dodgy pitch in Turkey. you know, it's been such that, you know, they were very, very disappointed in the Champions League, and Conte has got a few questions to ask because of that. But when it comes to their Serie A form, they've just been sensational. You know, 9 victories on the trot since that 15 minutes of madness against Fiorentina, when Fiorentina just blew them away, and Giuseppe Rossi in particular. But yeah, I'd say that, you know, they're going to be right up there. And as for Verona, yeah, few of us saw that. They've put together a nice little side. Mandolini's got them playing really good football, and the likes of Romolo and Iturbe and you know, Luca Toni playing up front. They've just had such a belief about them that they've been magnificent so far. And maybe they won't finish as high as a sixth, for instance, but I think they're more than safe. They've more than achieved their objective already. And I think, I expect them to pull up a couple more trees after the new year, I think.
Do you think Roma might invest in January as well early on, try and kind of ride this wave of momentum and bring in maybe a bit more of a star signing, so to speak, just to add a bit more quality, a touch more quality, to maybe try and pull Juventus back in? Or will they just kind of keep a cool head and take, as you say, this kind of, look, if we can get Champions League, we'll definitely take that still?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you stand still in football, then you're going backwards. I think that to that extent, they will be looking to make additions and improve the quality in certain areas. But it will be very much, I think, with Rudy Garcia, what he's kind of hit upon and what is really important to his side is that players have to fit in playing the kind of football that he wants. He's not going to bring in any old player. He'll bring in somebody maybe from the French league that he knows well from a period of time. There was talk earlier in the season about Bafétimbi Gomis from Lyon as a possible signing. And, you know, he wants players that will fit in to what is a superbly functioning side at the moment. He'll not want to change it too much. But again, they're in a great position now. It's not a position, as I was saying, that their target before the start of the season wasn't to win the Scudetto, and people were expecting them to push Juve closer, probably asking a little bit too much of them. But they're in a position now whereby they do have a bit more pull in the market. And so it might be that this is Roma's big chance to kind of make a couple of big signings on the strength of their form so far and say to the world, you know,
we will keep Chris an ear to the ground as we head into 2014 with all things Serie A, mate. And it's an absolute pleasure to finish off the World Football Daily Year with yourself, mate. Have a wonderful Christmas, a very good new year as well. And we look forward to catching up with you in the new year, my man.
Thanks very much and happy holidays to everybody.
Cheers, buddy. Chris, mate, have a great one and we'll catch up soon, man.
Cheers.
Chris Fox there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Serie A. An absolutely stellar start of the season for Verona, riding high in sixth place. Who would have seen that coming from Hellas Verona? Juan Iturbe having a great season. Of course, Luca Toni, Jorginho Frello as well. They're set, 14 goals, 7 apiece. Vital to this great start that Verona have had and really taken the lead by surprise.